On this week's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, we talk about some notable contract extensions in the NFL, including Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins in Cincinnati, Odell Beckham Jr. in New York, and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. We also recap Week 4 of Hard Knocks with the Cleveland Browns, and we wrap up the show with our 2018 college football playoff predictions. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
And welcome to the Natty Boys podcast. Today is Friday, August 30th, and Mike Brown's handing out money like he's got it. At least
he's got it. He got rid of Iloka just so he could do this.
Smart
move.
I don't want to cut you off, but it's gonna also be August 31st.
No, it's gonna be August 30th.
Actually, it's gonna be August 31st.
No, damn it, it is
because it's Wednesday. Doesn't matter.
I was like,
shut up, Hefe.
It matters.
I'm sorry. When this news came out that Geno Atkins, first the Geno Atkins news came out and then the Dunlap news came out pretty much right afterward.
Yeah.
The entire time, all I could think about was Michael getting his bonus for firing Devin in the first, is that first or second season of The Office?
Yeah. First season.
Yeah. And he's like, because it's at the Halloween, and he's like, or the Christmas parties when he admits that he got a bonus for firing him, right? Something like that. But then he's like, I should give him a call and let him know. that's kind of the vibe I got from this. Like,
yeah,
I guess maybe Gino and Carlos Dunlap Iloka a beer, or if he doesn't drink, maybe just take him out to a nice little dinner to thank him for all that money that got freed up.
So Geno's contract is a 4-year extension worth $65 million, almost 66. And it's going to be, for the average of those 4 years, it's like 16.9 or something.
Yeah.
And that's the highest average of a non-quarterback player being paid over 30 years old.
Yeah. And he's on pace to be, assuming he still goes upwards and the Bengals, win. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Those are two pretty big assumptions at this point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got the numbers to be in the Hall of Fame discussion. So,
sure.
He deserved it. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
For those of you that didn't see the preseason game, he lifted a
that was
300-plus pound man in the air and sacked a quarterback with him. Like, it was something you should not be able to do to a professional football player.
He's such a beast.
And yeah, he's unbelievable. And he was a late pick in the draft, too. I mean, wasn't he like was he a sixth rounder?
Fourth.
Or fifth rounder?
He was
fourth rounder.
Dunlap was second rounder.
Yeah, so he's taken later in the draft, and he's been unbelievable. And he's got a good pedigree. His dad was an NFL player. I mean, he's got a good pedigree, but he's just been unbelievable. He's so good.
This makes me think that Michael Johnson is probably going to get cut. It has to happen at this point with all the young talent that besides Gino and Carlos that are on the squad. I gotta see Michael Johnson getting cut. I think he'll get picked up somewhere else, but because I mean he still is a good player, but he's 31 years old and we owe him like $6 million this year. He's gonna get chopped. I think
he can go play in Tampa for a year, then come back here.
Nice.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of been Marvin's thing the whole summer. Like, he's been coming out and saying all these kind of cryptic things and, press conferences. And he said, early on that Sam Hubbard was going to get playing time right away, a rookie. And he did the same thing with Jesse Bates. And I think he's kind of trying to play his hand a little bit. He's still not going to tell us anything we want to hear, and he's still going to annoy us in pressers, but he's starting to at least, let us in kind of what his thought process is, I think, a little bit.
I hate how fucking smug Marvin always is.
I know. It is. It's frustrating.
He plays out of the Bill Belichick playbook, but he has no right to.
Yeah.
We were talking about it before we started recording about the Jonathan Brown, Randy Bullock battle at kicker. Like, he's just playing it off like there's literally no competition. And the guy made a 55-yarder with 10 yards to spare like 2 weeks ago. Like, there's got to be a competition. Like, that's such a weapon to be able to score from the 50 if your offense stalls. Like, how can you say that's not, you know, there's no competition there? It's ridiculous.
Maybe he's just really confident in the offense this year.
He should be after the way they looked in the first quarter yesterday on Sunday. That was pretty awesome to see. John Ross made a hell of a play. It was funny to see people bitching, like, Dalton underthrew him. It's just more Dalton. He threw off his back foot. Like, he didn't have a chance to come through on that ball. It was one of those, like, I got to get rid of this ball before I get destroyed. The fact that he got it that far was impressive, and that's...
He was lucky it didn't get tipped. I mean, he had Redmond right in his lap when he threw it.
Unless Dalton puts it in the receiver's hands 100% of the time, he's going to get torn apart by people in Cincinnati.
Yep. It was good to see Eifert take the field.
Eifert played well. He made that one catch and got hit immediately, and my heart stopped. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, don't get hit. Be the only tight end that never gets hit going across the middle.
Right.
The one that made me nervous was the drop he had where the ball got tipped and the guy kind of just landed on him. I was like, oh, God. Because it was one of those incidental contact things, and I'm like, that's exactly when he's going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. That's when somebody just falls on him on accident.
So this is going to be a bold prediction, and I know our NFL picks are next week, but I'm going to give you a bonus one early. Eifert plays in 16 games this year.
That would be awesome. No, why not 19?
No fucking way.
Because he's going to get hurt.
He's going to miss weeks 3 through 6.
Yeah.
So
actually, four games.
The Colts-Bengals game was last night, I guess. We're recording Wednesday, so we haven't seen the fourth preseason game. But my guess is that hopefully no number ones play. And that we run very vanilla packages because we go play the Colts week one. So we better not show them anything that we're doing scheme wise or else Marvin is an idiot.
I think, now hear me out here. I think they play all the starters the entire game and just demoralize them because then they'll be so down the next week that they won't be able to play us when it counts. They'll still be, you know, gun shy, basically. Like, oh shit, these guys just beat the shit out of us last
week. Damn, that's good.
And they'll just basically roll over, and then the Bengals will get an easy first week victory.
That's good.
I'm surprised more teams don't do that.
That's what I'm excited about with the Bengals this year, and I'm always an optimist. But
yeah, you said every fucking time we talk about the Bengals.
But their D line.
I'm sorry, I just can't.
Their D line, they haven't really had to run a lot of schemes, and it's just because they've gotten such a good pass rush in all the preseason games.
Yeah, they're bull rushing. It's incredible.
Yeah, they have not run any, like, if you've watched the games, they have not run any blitzes or schemes. And if they, even with their backups, can continue to do that, like, they're going to just destroy teams once they start blitzing and, you know, bringing in linebackers off the edge. If you're not excited about the Bengals, you should at least be excited about their defense because their defense is going to be unreal this year.
Yeah, and their offense.
Yeah.
Special teams.
Just be excited about the whole thing.
Going to be amazing also.
Yeah.
So we talked about Geno and Carlos Dunlap both getting contracts. Another guy that just signed a monster deal is Odell Beckham Jr. with the Giants. Mm-hmm. He's staying with them for 6 more years. $65 million guaranteed?
Yeah, I don't get that. That is risky.
So much for a receiver that's been hurt.
Yeah. He's such a head case, too.
That is going to...
He fought a kicking net.
Like, I was going to say, that's going to buy one hell of an engagement ring for that kicking net.
Like, I would not dump $65 million into a player that has that many issues.
Well, that's the guaranteed money. I think the full contract's over... Is it over 100?
It's a lot.
It's something
it's
ridiculous.
It's a lot.
Can you imagine the boat parties he's going to throw with that money?
I know, man. There's just been so much controversy around him. I mean, he was on video supposedly snorting coke in the summer. Like, it's just
dude ridiculous. Likes caffeine.
I don't get it.
It burns, man.
5 year, $95 million was the numbers on that.
Yep,
it's crazy.
19.5 per year.
No, yeah. Aaron Rodgers money.
That's right.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
What sucks is Aaron Rodgers just signed a massive deal, and I'll never feel bad for anyone that's got $103 million guaranteed. He's getting like $400,000 a day between now and like St. Patrick's Day. I forget what the what the stretch of days is, but he when he's halfway through that contract, there's going to be five or six, maybe close to 10 quarterbacks making more than he does.
Yeah,
the way things go.
Yeah,
and it's just, but he also doesn't seem like the kind of guy. Like he never once, like even mentioned holding out when this whole deal process was getting started. Which I saw brought up today about Gene, not to go back to them already, but with Gino and Carlos Dunlap, it's you knew the plan was to get them signed soon, but there was never rumblings or even mentions that there was going to be someone sitting out or even talking in the media or having agents talk in the media trying to force the team's hand. And that blows up in people's face against the Bengals because the Browns are stuck. The Brown family. I don't want to say the Browns and get people confused about the Cleveland team, but the Brown family is super, they're incredibly stubborn people. And they just, they're not going to play to that. They're not going to be influenced by what people are talking about and stuff. So that was another thing I'd give kudos to Rodgers and his agent about, because he has been severely underpaid for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're more than making up for it with this new deal.
Yeah.
But
no, I agree with the comments about the Brown family. And I will say, and I said it on Twitter earlier today, that's probably one of the positives with Marvin, too, is his players don't really come out in the media and talk about contracts and have a lot of off-the-field stuff or, holdouts, because I think that's kind of their culture. And I know they know the owners won't play to it, but I just think that's kind of the culture of the team, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money being tossed around right now. It's nice to see the Bengals getting some good publicity on. I haven't seen anybody except for just your typical skeptics that are mad about everything the Bengals do.
Why didn't they do this with Whitworth and Zeitler and Sanu and fucking, what's the other, Marvin Jones? Every other
player that's played for him the last 10 years.
Yeah. Except for they offered Marvin Jones what he got from the Lions. He just wanted to be the number one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whitworth, I will always say we should have paid him whatever in the hell he wanted. And Zeitler even anywhere? Where is Zeitler now? He's not with the Browns.
I think he's
anymore,
still in Cleveland.
Is he still in Cleveland? I haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him on Hard Knocks.
PFT commenters comment on the Atkins and Dunlap signings were pretty funny this morning on Pardon My Take. No free ads. He said that Geno Atkins and the other defensive lineman that isn't Geno Atkins both got great deals.
That's funny.
It looks like Zeitler's still in Cleveland.
Wow. He's doing a good job of hiding from the cameras then.
Well, he looks like a fat 12-year-old too, so you wouldn't really know he's a mean, awesome offensive guard.
They just going back to the whole Geno and Dunlap thing. One, it's funny to me that Dunlap was, and always seems to happen this way around the league, but Dunlap was one of those guys out of college. It was like, this guy's going to be complete. I mean, he is a game changer. He's a really good player. But Atkins, I think maybe just his size scared people away because he's only like 6 foot tall or something like that.
Yeah.
But that video of him, and Hefe alluded to it earlier, of him, the field level, like I've seen it from like the actual like side, not the, from the actual broadcast view of him destroying the defense or the offensive lineman, but watching it on field level was like enough to give anybody that's ever played football nightmares. Like, that guy had the most helpless feeling in the world, I'm sure. Like, he's just on his heels.
There's just no defense to that.
Yeah.
You guys remember last year when he absolutely killed Deshaun Watson in the Texans game?
Yeah.
That was fucking amazing.
I thought
amazing.
Deshaun Watson was dead, honestly, when that happened.
Do you remember last year when Deshaun Watson absolutely killed the Bengals?
Yeah.
Continuing the streak of backup Texans quarterbacks just to destroy the Bengals.
Yeah.
Granted, he became the starter, and he's probably going to be the starter for a long time there now. But at the time, he was. Who did he replace when they got? Who got hurt for the Texans last year? I mean, everyone knew.
But
he eventually did. But at first, it was. Looks like it was Tom Savage got hurt right away in that first game. And then after that, it was the Deshaun Watson show because they came to Cincinnati in week two and just destroyed the Bengals. Of course, it was on a Thursday night.
Dolan can't play in primetime.
That's right. They destroyed them 13-9, but it seemed worse for some reason.
Yeah, I know.
Guess because Bengals didn't score until like week 14 or something like that. Speaking of teams that might not score until week 14, the Browns.
Oh, my God. Their offense is so bad.
It almost got a lot worse, but it looks like... And I guess he's going back to Tyrod. And I saw Troy Aikman getting shit on Twitter about calling him Tyrod. And he was like... He explicitly told me he wanted it to be pronounced Tyrod. Like, he goes by Tyrod now. That's what he... Kind of like the whole Favre thing.
I told you, it's T-Dog.
It's T-Dog.
How many times I got to tell you it's the fucking T-Dog?
That's awesome. But now he... Their offense, they would be completely fucked without Tyrod. I feel like he's going to be the only guy. Baker might be good eventually, but I don't think he's going to be that good. And he's definitely not ready to be good.
Yeah. And Jarvis, you know, Landry hit reality. Like, he was kind of what he always is. He's a pass-catching machine, but he disappears in games. And he had a horrible game on that episode of Hard Knocks. Like, it... He just was, you know, being lazy. All the stuff he calls people out for, he was doing. And he was begging for penalties. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, the whole offense disappeared in that game.
I was going to wait for it until Hefe brought it up, but I need a quick three clap for his girlfriend or fiance, whatever she is. I don't mind when they keep going to her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, all right, like, let's see Jarvis's family one more time.
Yeah, but when a girl smokes... Yeah, when a girl smokes, she's unattractive, but when she says bless him, she becomes really unattractive.
That was the most forced bless him ever.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, come on.
You could tell when she said it, it was just kind of like they wanted her. They prayed like, hey, throw bless him in at some point. Which, thank God, that finally toned down a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So one of the things that stuck out to me on the Hard Knocks episode was Kajust and his stones.
Yeah, we fucking called that the first week. I don't know if he specifically said he was one of those, like, crystal guys, but he said he was one of those weird out there, like, one with nature and energy kind of guys, just the way he talked, so.
I almost feel lightheaded holding this one.
Yeah.
He's such a weirdo.
He reminds me of the dad from Rocket Power, though. Like, just his look. Like, you know, like, just, like, big, beefy dude with long hair that... Doesn't really have much.
He probably drives that wooden paneled car too.
Yeah. But yeah, that's he's just. It sucks when he's gonna get cut.
I know.
Like, it's what sucks. Yeah,
no, it's for sure. Him and Brogan.
I can't wait for Brogan to get cut.
Brogan gets cut. Yeah.
I hope Brogan cries. It would make me laugh. I hope his girlfriend breaks up with him for wanting to be, you know, kind of hit on Aaron Andrews. Like, his whole world falls apart.
Even Brogan can do better than that, though.
I mean, yeah.
Not Aaron Andrews, his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until she's a social media influencer with her 8,000 Instagram followers.
I wish I had 8,000 Instagram followers.
Yeah, me too, but if I had tits, I probably would.
What do you mean, if?
Someone make the argument.
I'm not that fat.
I was going to say, I don't have 8,000.
And that was the Natty Boys being Hefe.
Oh, we could all. It'd be stealing from a radio show Woody and I used to listen to, but we should have a Hefe off one episode where all we do is act like Hefe.
Cool.
That might.
So it would just be like real life?
But I, going back to, you know, the more serious aspect of this show. I can't wait till Carl Nassib gets cut, too.
God, fuck that guy.
And it doesn't look like he's going to, because whatever, I keep forgetting the dude's name he's going up against.
44.
44.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Not, I can't remember what his name is. I keep blanking. But he's not doing anything to help himself. He's basically handing Carl Nassib the job.
Well, he's also undersized, and Nassib's got the build of a D-end, and he's going to make
Nate
it just because of his size.
Nate Orchard, yeah.
Yeah, and it was or something.
Yeah.
Or not gonna work.
Probably not. But yeah, he had a rough game. He's had a rough couple games. Carl Nassib, I can't stand him. Like, I didn't like him from day one.
No.
Like, that was just stupid. Like, the whole financial planning type stuff.
Yeah.
Which was, I will say, that portion and just in general, the rookie show video was hilarious.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I actually found myself laughing at that and thinking it was pretty good.
Look, they may not be very good at football, but they're funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baker's right. Impression of Dorsey was hilarious.
That
yeah.
was pretty good.
Bunny the boy.
Just, yeah. Hey, buddy boy.
Yeah.
Kept stuffing gum in his mouth. A lot of the stuff was funny. Like, I thought them.
It's contagious, man.
The Jarvis video is awesome.
And the guys are like getting pulled around on the back of a gator catching passes. Like, it's contagious. Yeah. That was pretty good.
And I like their Todd Haley versus Greg Williams little skit, too.
Which, what the hell's his name now? I had it. It's not Bob Wiley, is it?
Bob Wiley.
Is it Bob Wiley? Yeah.
He's my hero. Like,
he was cracking me up, too, with him being...
I love Bob Wiley. Turn off the fucking music.
Human body hasn't changed in 200,000 years, so why should the sled?
when he yelled about the music, I laughed out loud. He was like, turn off that fucking music. I was like, yes.
He's like, when you're trying to learn an English class in high school, they play this fucking music all day long. Why are we playing it out here?
He's just an older, fatter Paul Alexander.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Paul Alexander's gone, but he makes me smile.
Yeah. I know it's kind of caught on with, I think, Big Cat, and I've seen a couple other people, like at Barstool and other, and like everywhere, pretty much anyone that's got football coverage has been tweeting out the videos of him saying hut with his stomach, like jumping every time he says hut.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It makes me laugh every single time.
But he puts me into a trance.
I know.
Yeah. Yep. But he's funny. I forget what else he was saying the one time. He was getting pissed off about something in the meeting room, wasn't he? I feel like he got mad about something in the meeting room, and I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
This zoology thing still has me cracking up from last week. It was like it literally looked like clips out of a zoo book.
I know.
That he had just blown up to it looked like he had them on a projector, mm-hmm. and he just had it up on the screen.
Yep. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there were any other things. I didn't expect Josh Gordon to be somewhat likable.
I know.
I was fully ready to hate him, other than his stupid three-stripe eye black thing.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was about. Especially with it just being on one side.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, he didn't really have much camera time to prove me completely wrong that I wasn't going to like him. But everything he said and was talking about, he's like, you know, I shouldn't just walk in here whether he believes it or not. I mean, he knew what to say. He shouldn't expect just to walk in there and, you know, be given the opportunity. He needs to earn it. Because he wasn't there when everyone else was busy earning their chances.
Yeah.
But I did have one. There was one other telling thing that it's another thing of the Browns just never being on the same page, and maybe Hugh trying to puff his chest a little bit too much when they were all talking about all the differences in the playbook and all the new stuff that they were putting out and how everything had changed. Yeah. But Josh Gordon was sitting there looking at his iPad. He's like, oh, you guys haven't put any new plays in? He's like, I know all this stuff.
Like, I missed 2 months and I didn't. There's no new plays? Like, Jesus.
Like, so what's that say about, one, the Browns, and two, like, is Hugh that disconnected from what's really going on in reality? Or is he puffing his chest hoping nobody's going to realize that they've been running the same plays for?
Yeah.
I mean, it might be variations of different looks, but you're putting new stuff in. You should be putting new stuff in constantly.
Yeah.
Like, and you can always call back on some other things, and you show different looks out of different sets and run different plays out of different sets with different personnel packages. But it sounded like he hadn't missed a beat, and that's not a good thing in the NFL when there's nothing but film on everything you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was what made me laugh about the Michael Kendrick stuff, not the, you know, the insider trading stuff, but them acting like he was like some, like,
he's got all this inside knowledge, which he's basically insider trading.
Him giving inside information as he gets popped for insider trading.
Yeah,
like maybe that's what he got in trouble for.
it's actually Goodell bringing down the hammer this time. Yeah, man. But talking about Nick Foles' ball, like, okay, well, I watched every Eagles game last year too.
Yeah,
they're like talking about
they were such like obvious.
I forget what the one thing was, something with the left tackle, like he's going to try to get on your inside arm or something like that. So he just ripped through him. Like, literally anybody that is, and I put that in the blog, anybody that is watching these games or watches football, like, he wasn't dropping knowledge. Like, you use him as a resource for. The way they disguise things, like, in which you should still be able to pick up on in film.
Yeah.
But like certain calls are like, hey, if so-and-so is doing this, chances are they're calling, like, this is the reason they're doing it. It's not
he didn't have specifics.
Not a tackle's technique or how Jared Goff, Nick Foles' ball like comes down. Like
yeah. He basically did what I do when I get called on to talk about something that I wasn't expecting to have to talk about. I just basically bullshit my way through it and just state the obvious, but do it with enough conviction where people are like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, that's a good idea. Hey, thanks for that insight
there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said if you get into the tackle's chest, he doesn't trust his feet.
Yeah, that's what it was.
No tackle would trust his feet if you were into his chest.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't have leverage on you.
Which even the Browns were talking about with Kajus's blocking.
Yeah.
They're yeah. About yeah. It's like if he doesn't have leverage on you and you're in his chest, yeah. He's not going to trust his feet.
Yeah.
Ask the guard from what Geno Atkins did to him.
Right. Oh, yeah, but there's just something
so
like
stupid.
That. It's like that just shows you. And I'm sure I could nitpick on any team, but I like doing it on the Browns. But yeah, just the
easy.
Behind the scenes stuff with the Browns, it's like this is the reason that they've won one game in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, they started the episode off again with them talking about how lazy they are.
Yeah.
Like, it's been the theme of every episode. Yep. And in this episode, it literally started the episode. He was yelling at him for being lazy.
I forget who. Well, one of the wide receivers, Todd Haley, was basically like, that's what I would do, too, if I was fighting for a job. I'd probably half-ass it all night, too. Like,
yeah.
Todd Haley can be a prick, but, I mean, he's getting the guy's ass, and he's trying to.
And then he apologized. You know. Well, sorry for yelling at you, Jarvis. Yeah. Yeah. Like, what?
But
you half-assed it. Yell at him.
What's his name? The dude that, Callaway.
Yeah.
The dude that got popped for weed.
Yep.
He's fucking dumb.
Yeah, like, he is really dumb. Yeah. Like,
he seems so uninterested in everything, too.
Yeah, and poor Jarvis. Like,
he looks like a lost
Jarvis
kid.
Has essentially become a coach.
Yeah.
I know that's what you want your veteran guys to kind of take guys under their wing, but.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like Haley just keeps coming to him like, hey man, you got to do this, you got to take care of this for this, and and Jarvis is going to get sick of it eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Like you already saw him starting to melt down in the middle of the preseason.
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of Full Metal Jacket when he takes Pyle under his wing.
Very like, very topical reference.
And we all saw how that
in
ended.
Boot camp.
But yeah, the Browns are a shit show. Right.
It was funny.
I know, it's funny to see how
it made
people
me laugh.
That was a funny episode, which is weird to say about Hard Knocks, but it is interesting to see how much the perception of the Browns and the outlook of their season has changed based
4-12.
Them just getting exposure. Like they will be, I would say it's a success for them if they win four games.
And they said the other day 4-12 with the Bengals finishing behind them. Like I just don't
understand that.
Four episodes of Hard Knocks, I don't understand. They got dominated by a Bills offensive line that the Bengals had five sacks against. I just don't know where they're not watching football if they think that team's going to win four games.
Either way, I'm pretty excited for cut week next week to see
you know,
how they handle that. And I'm also excited for college football to be starting this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So I know it kind of started last weekend with some
like UMass versus
some of the smaller teams actually playing, but the real like every single team is playing is going down this weekend, and I am super pumped for Saturday.
Me too.
I concur. No,
somebody's pumped.
And pod.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to this weekend too. Last weekend that doesn't count, but this is your official opening weekend. You got some decent matchups, and then you got some, you know, power schools, you know, playing nobodies, basically. Like, I think Clemson plays, like, Fordham or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's some pretty good matchups, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to the Alabama-Louisville game.
That's
going to be a good one. It's surprising to me that Alabama isn't playing. I mean, they've done this a little bit recently where they scheduled a semi-tough opponent to begin the year. But Louisville they're going to be decent in the ACC this year.
Yeah.
But for the college football kicking off, we're going to give you our playoff picks at the beginning of the season. I don't remember how we did last year. We probably did amazing.
Yeah, I think we all four. We had different picks, but I think we were all right on all of them. So.
Yeah, right.
Don't fact check us. Actually, do fact check us. Go back and listen and download and subscribe and
delete
and re-download. Unsubscribe, resubscribe. Tell your friends.
So my picks were a little bit
wrong.
Yeah. Well, no, we were all right.
Oh yeah. No, I thought you were talking about your picks this week, this year.
Oh no, they're going to be right. Also, I think of us are going to be correct.
Right. But yeah, I agree.
The first two are pretty. I mean, they're at the top of almost everybody's list, and that's Alabama number one. They had another amazing recruiting class, and Nick Saban just does what he does down there, and I think that they're going to be obviously in the top four at the end of the season. I don't think that there's much reason to believe that they won't be.
No.
The second one that's pretty obvious is Clemson for me. They did it last year. Their toughest game on the schedule is against Florida State.
Florida State's the only ranked opponent that they have right now. Yeah, I don't want to be that strength of schedule guy, but I mean they if they don't make it, they only have themselves to blame, basically.
Right. They have a chance to go undefeated as long as they can make it out of that Florida State game.
Yep. Unscathed. I think they should.
So my other two are a little bit of dark horses, and I talked with Mac a little bit before the podcast started, and he doesn't see it the way I see it. I think Washington is going to be one of the Final Four that makes it out of the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And
purple teams, man. No.
They play play Auburn opening weekend, and then they do have a couple tough games like Stanford and
Oregon.
State.
Stanford and Oregon. We'll get back.
Oregon. That's who it was. But I think that they can go the entire season undefeated, and that they would have to go undefeated in the Pac-12 to make it to the college football playoff, most likely.
Probably.
Yeah.
I feel like there's always one of those Pac-12 teams, though, that upsets the other. They kind of pick each other apart at the end of the year.
It definitely happens. So,
because Stanford and Oregon did that to each other a couple years back-to-back.
Right. The last year for Washington, I'm pretty sure it was Stanford that ended their perfect season. But the my fourth team is the real dark horse. So Washington, a lot of people are saying that there's a chance that they can make it to the Final Four. But my last team is Miami. I think the U is going to be back. And at one point last year, they had climbed up to number two in the college football playoffs, and then they lost like three of their last four games, including their bowl game, which kind of screwed them. But at one point last year, they were number two in the college football playoff ranking systems. And they have a tough schedule with LSU, Florida State, and Virginia Tech, all of their ranked opponents to start the year. But I think that if they can get a head of steam, you know, similar to what they did last year, that Miami can do it. And that was my one that I was kind of iffy on. But I think that they can... they can climb up and do it. I think they're in the teens to start the season off ranked, somewhere in the late teens, I think. But
yeah, I almost picked Miami as well. I think I definitely agree. I think they could do it.
Two ACC teams for me, which is a little different, but
yeah.
And I've seen, because we talked about, we were doing research, just seeing what other people are picking as well, and I've seen people allude to the fact that there are potential, two team scenarios out there, but most people are saying it's either going to be two SEC teams or two Big Ten teams. But I mean, I could see, especially if both those teams run the table and then meet up in the championship game. I could see them both getting in. Or
It was hard for me.
Each other in regular season, right?
Yeah.
No, obviously, because Clemson
they don't play each other. It was hard for me to leave out the Big Ten because I don't want to spoil anyone else's picks, but Wisconsin and Ohio State and Michigan are all going to be really good this year. And I'll let you guys take it from here. But those are my four. And I had a tough time leaving out the Big Ten, but I did it.
Yep.
And so Miami, Washington, Clemson, Alabama is my four.
Yep. That's not bad. So when I did look at some of the other, what the quote unquote experts were picking, I was looking now on ESPN does their college football preview, and I think they had like 43 people that picked, and 43 of them picked Clemson and 40 of them picked Auburn. So just about everybody has both those teams in it. I think a few people didn't pick Alabama, and maybe I'm just trying to be contrarian here, but I didn't pick either team in it. I from the SEC, I've got Auburn coming out of it. I think Auburn beats Washington this weekend. They're going to lose at least one or two during the season because the SEC always beats up on each other. But I think they beat Auburn. I think they come away with the SEC championship. And I think even if they have two losses, that's going to be good enough to get them in, at least in the four spot. So I've got Auburn coming out of the SEC. My ACC, so I do have an ACC team in there, and I feel like it's a lot more of a stretch. But I picked Florida State just because they've got DeAndre Francois back. And when Francois got hurt last year, you know, it really killed them because they were up there as – I mean, that's, right. That Alabama-Florida State game, that was 1-2. I mean, everybody had a ton of hype around Florida
State. That was week one, wasn't it?
It was. It was week one. And he got hurt in that game, and that just derailed their season. But he's back now. I think they've got the talent to do it. And I tried to look at schedules just to see if there were some stumbling blocks for Clemson. And there's not. Like we said, Florida State's their biggest game.
Right.
Florida State, on the other hand, has a brutal schedule. So if they can get through that even with just one loss, I definitely think that they're going to have earned the right to go to that game. Or go to the playoff, rather. I think they're going to have to beat Clemson because I think they're the only ones that really have a legit shot to do it. I think a lot of people are saying Clemson could stumble at the end of the year against South Carolina, which they could very well be ranked at that point. But I think Florida State's going to have to beat Clemson if they want to get in. But that's who I've got coming out of the SEC.
Nice.
Or ACC, rather. And then I picked Oregon from the Pac-12. Okay. And the way I see it, so I was comparing schedules. You basically have Stanford, Oregon, and Washington all kind of vying for that spot, I think. I don't think anyone from the other divisions really going to challenge, but they all three play each other. So the way I see it going down is I think they all go 1-1 in those games, basically. And I don't know who's going to beat who, but I think Washington losing to Auburn's obviously going to hurt them because if they're all tied in the conference play, they're going to go to overall record. So I think Washington loses against Auburn. And I can't remember who I had Stanford losing to. But I think they lose another game too. And I think Oregon only loses to either Stanford or Washington. So I think Oregon comes out of the Pac-12 as a champion. I think they make it. And part of the reason I think that is because Justin Herbert's getting a lot of Heisman hype. And I don't know if that's, just hype or if he's the real deal. But I think he'll be able to get Oregon back to kind of that high-flying offense that they used to be known for.
So coming into the season, Oregon's ranked 24th, correct?
Yeah.
So no, they're going to have to climb some in order to make it happen.
I think they're a little higher than that. They're 24th right now.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yep. So they're 24th. Yeah, they're 24th, and Florida State's 19th. So they're both kind of on the lower end of the top 25. But, I mean, it only takes a few weeks for things to shake up where they can be right back up.
If you're in the top 25 and you have a couple big weeks.
Yeah, first coach's pool is always tough.
Yeah, so. And then my last one, I mean, it's not a shock. I picked the Buckeyes. I think they're going to be great this year. I think the biggest question is going to be at quarterback, but – I believe Dwayne Haskins is going to be a step up from what they had last year in JT Barrett. And I think the rest of the team is stacked. I don't think this whole Urban Meyer thing is going to end up being a distraction for the team. If anything, I think it's going to be motivation. They all seem pretty pissed off about it right now. So I think they rally around that.
How do you think the TCU game goes without Urban?
So here's the thing. I mean, if you really looked at that suspension, he suspended through like September 1st, and then he suspended just the game day for the first three games.
So he can do all the prep?
Yeah, he'll do all the prep, all the practice that week. So really it's just going to be executing the game plan on that day. So, I don't think it's going to have a huge impact. But if anything, I think that's where they're going to slip up.
And everything I saw from like the people talking on ESPN and stuff after the suspension news came out, talking about that TCU game, the Buckeyes are down, 17-10 at halftime, or whatever the random score would be. Like, you don't have the Urban Meyer switching up the game plan or, the rah-rah, like pep talk or anything like that. Really, college, because they were saying, like, once you're in the game, the head coaches don't really – there's very few head coaches
that are hands-on.
They leave it off to the coordinators. They might make the final decision on certain things and certain situations, like situational calls and stuff. But it really comes down to the halftime adjustment. So they were like,
yeah,
that could be a big a roadblock or you know, a speed bump for the Buckeyes if they struggle out of the gate against TCU.
Yep.
That's what's great about football too, is it's all about execution. It's all about, you have to execute your game plan. You can have all the talent in the world, and if you slip up on your game plan, you're screwed.
The one thing that gives me a little bit of pause with the Buckeyes right now is that Ryan Day, who's the interim head coach right now, came out and said that, you know, Dwayne Haskins is the number one guy. He's going to be a starter. But they said, you know, Tate Martell is going to play. So I really hope they don't do the whole, you know, Braxton – or not Braxton, right. The Cardale Jones, JT Barrett shit they
that
did.
That was –
And that's – and I didn't talk about it when I talked about Auburn, but that's part of the reason why I'm a little bit off on Alabama too, because I guess Saban says he's not going to, you know, make the call on Tagovailoa or Hurts right now. And I don't know if that's just, you know, gamesmanship from Saban, or if he really hasn't decided who's going to be the starter, but that's always dangerous going in if you don't have that clear-cut guy, because if you go back and forth between them and don't let any one guy get into a rhythm, it can really affect the team, so –
yeah,
Saban got pissed off at the reporters that kept asking him questions about his two quarterbacks this week. And I mean, he's just like sick of answering the question. He's like, I'm going to play whoever I want. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and I feel like in doing research, that's kind of a theme for the whole college football season, is there's a lot of quarterbacks that there's question marks on.
Yep.
And there's a lot of quarterback battles that either haven't been decided or they might change mid-year.
Yeah, I think Clemson's got one too. I mean, I don't know the guy's name that they had in or have right now, but I guess they're saying that there's a freshman that's coming in that's supposed to be a real stud. Yeah. So they said it's very possible he could challenge for that.
Georgia's even got a freshman that's supposed to be, you know, the next big thing. Yep. So, yeah.
So, Woody, we had none of the same picks.
No.
Right.
But we're both going to be right.
Mac or Hefe. Take it off. Your top, that is.
I can go.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
My first pick, Alabama. I think they're, you know, first in class. They're the dynasty. Saban always seems to do it. They've got I think their question marks are defense and quarterback, like, you know, what he was saying. Tagovailoa is how you actually pronounce it. I looked up pronunciation because I'm bad about that before.
Did you look up how to say pronunciation?
Yeah.
Pronunciation. I've been there.
Yeah,
I'm an idiot. I probably have concussion issues. But I think that Saban's going to figure it out. He's, you know, been successful the number of years he has for the same reason that Ohio State figures it out every year. They're first in class. They're the teams to beat. I just think that they're your clear cut number one. My number two that I had is Wisconsin. They're returning a lot of players. They got Jonathan Taylor, who's a Heisman hopeful, a tough defense. I feel like they're just consistent. They're coming back with a chip on their shoulder because they kind of got screwed. Whether you want to, you know, think they got screwed or not, they just have a chip on their shoulder from last year. So, they had their most wins in school history last year, so they've got a purpose for playing. So, third, I'm going Clemson out of the ACC. Tough defense. They have two of their, you know, best players returning on defense. Their running game's more developed. They have, you know, players coming back for sophomore seasons that are only going to be more developed. Their defensive linemen that could have easily went into the draft will probably be top draft picks next year. And Christian Wilkins and Austin Bryant. So they're just going to really, I think, terrorize teams with their defense, which I think is going to be important this year because, like we said, there's a lot of teams that have quarterback controversies. So that could, you know, even, you know, make that more prevalent with, you know, big defense and in big games like that. Sure. And then my fourth pick, I'm going to go with Georgia. They have a seasoned receiving core, you know, a top 10 offense, a top 10 defense last year. A lot of teams think they're going to take a step back, but they kind of surprised everybody last year. And I just see them, you know, kind of shocking a couple teams. And they play in the SEC, so they'll have tough matchups throughout the year. But I do think that they're going to edge out Ohio. Did I? Yeah, I think they're going to edge out Ohio State for the fourth spot.
I think people will be pissed if Alabama and Georgia both make it again and again this year.
Yeah.
Which, right. I mean, I don't necessarily think you're wrong. I could very well see that happening. I think Georgia's another one of those teams that they could very easily make it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Urban worries me with Ohio State and their inexperience because they have a new quarterback. That being said, I could easily see – I had them as a possible fourth on my list. Yeah. So I don't think they're going to be bad by any means. I think that it'll hold them up a little bit.
Sure.
I think they're 1 year away from being a clear-cut number one.
Yep. So you had Georgia, Alabama.
Georgia, Alabama, Wisconsin, and Clemson.
Yep.
Perfect. I will go ahead and get them started on my four. on this one, and I know that a lot of the picks and a lot of the, you know, analysis was going off of like the types of players that are coming through, or the young guys, or the big returning players. But it seems like the blue bloods, it doesn't even matter who is interchangeable. I know like Florida State's, you know, season got derailed by injury last year. But I don't really put them in the same class as the rest of the teams I picked for my final four.
Sure.
In the look at the Buckeyes a couple years ago. No matter who they put in at quarterback, they were winning. Seems like Alabama, no matter who gets hurt, someone comes up and steps up and wins.
Yep.
So I didn't really have them seeded in any specific order. But my four, I took two teams out of the SEC. I had Georgia. Looking at their schedule, they get lucky. They don't have to play Alabama. The only real tough game on their schedule is they play Auburn, but it's at home. And so, I mean, and then they finish out the year with UMass and Georgia Tech. So, I mean, if they get past Auburn, they're going to be – I don't see them really slipping up. The Tennessee's not going to be good. They got LSU.
I thought
LSU,
the balls were back. I thought it was their year.
It's always their year. LSU would be tough at LSU just because anytime you go down there, it's a tough matchup. But I think Georgia, they just seem to be one of those teams that are going to put it together. And it just, like I said, it's more just the, you know, that number one goes down, they've got 1A and 1B right behind them ready to go. So,
yep.
Same reason I took, despite their quarterback controversy right now, Alabama.
Sure.
I still think the Flying Hawaii, or the Soarin' Samoan, whatever they're, I saw him called something like that the one day, or whatever his name is. The how do you say his last
name? I said Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. I actually looked up a video of him pronouncing it.
How to pronunciate it, however you said it. But Alabama, for being Alabama, has a pretty cake schedule too. They have to go to LSU as well. They have Mississippi State at home, but then they've got Auburn the last week, but that's at home too. So the Louisville game this week could be fun, but the meat of their schedule, it's pretty easy. And no matter what, they might as well just chalk in Alabama every single year. It doesn't seem – there's only been 1 year that they haven't made it, right? Been a year?
I think they've made it all every single
they've
year.
They've made it all every – it's been like 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah. And Clemson's been all but like one or two of them.
Yeah. Which brings me to my number three pick. I've got Clemson.
Yeah.
Again, their schedule. Like, they play Florida State. That's the only ranked team on their schedule as it sits right now. There's always a chance that a team like Louisville or even sometimes Duke sneaks into the top 25. But other than that, I mean, they don't get tested until NC State maybe. And I don't know. And that's not until the end of October. So. I mean, I don't think Clemson's really going to be tested much either.
Clemson's schedule's cake.
If they do slip, they don't have any room for error. So if they do slip up and have that one bad game where they get beat, they're done.
That'll be the reason that they don't make it.
They don't have the benefit of the rest of the SEC schools that – or not the rest, like the SEC schools that I have. I see both Georgia and Alabama getting in with one loss.
Yeah.
Possibly two for one of them if they – and a lot of times they do deserve the benefit of the doubt, but you could say the same for the Big Ten this year too, which is why my fourth school was it's Wisconsin. I could see them possibly losing to Michigan, just at Michigan,
sure.
Middle of the season, but they got plenty of time to make up ground and beat. If they beat Penn State on the road, I think that they'll be a lock, because that would obviously put them into the as long as everything else goes as planned.
Yep.
as it sits, that would put them into the Big Ten championship. And I kept going back and forth with Ohio State. And it's not even necessarily the Urban thing. It's just for some reason this feels like the year that they can't get things clicking with the right quarterback. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, it very well could be. I mean, you got a new. Yeah. You're gonna have a new starter in there regardless. So
yeah.
There's gonna be a learning curve.
Yeah, and that goes a little bit against my. It doesn't matter who really is out there. It's more the actual. But when you have two guys, it doesn't scare me as much with Alabama. With their offense.
Because they've never been that reliant on their offense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with that.
Ever since the god A.J. McCarron left, they haven't really had a quarterback.
Exactly. So when I was doing Big Ten research, and Whit, you can tell me how right this is.
It's not.
Penn State is a sexy pick for a lot of people this year coming out.
I've seen that.
And I don't think Wisconsin is, and that's why I had thought about picking Penn State as kind of my – I just couldn't get over the Barkley thing, like him being gone.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about their running backs. I know that quarterback's a stud.
I think McSorley's a fine quarterback, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm not that impressed by him, but I don't watch Penn State a whole lot either. So
he's like one of the most Big Ten quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah.
He's just got that.
And I feel like the same way. I do feel like the same way with Wisconsin. I just feel like they're not. They're not exciting teams. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Yeah. They're just very consistent.
Yeah. I did have a dark horse pick, though, that I could see maybe being the first team left out or possibly, you know, the team I could see them getting, like, the benefit of the doubt or slipped in. I mean, it's no secret that the NCAA has been kind of getting a lot of shit for leaving teams out that, you know, might be deserving, but they're not one of the big SEC programs. No, I'm not going where Whitty thinks I'm going here.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I think a one or two loss Notre Dame team gets a shot before they put a second SEC school in. Because their schedule, I mean, they have that weird schedule where obviously they play an ACC heavy schedule, but they have a good mix of all the different conferences. But they play a decent non-conference. I mean, everything's non-conference. They play pretty decent. They got Michigan to start off, Stanford, Virginia Tech, Florida State, and USC. Like, if they only get – I could see them getting beat by Michigan in week one and having enough time to bounce back. Even that Stanford game and USC, you never know how those rivalry games are going to go. But I think the committee and just college football as a whole get shit on so much for catering to the SEC. I could see if you have a two-loss Georgia – and a one or two loss Notre Dame team, I could see Notre Dame getting the upper hand there.
Yeah.
Whereas they hadn't previously. There was a year, was it 2 years ago? There was a year that they got left. They just missed. I don't remember what year it was. But they were right there, and that was a year that they didn't really have the greatest schedule. So,
mm-hmm.
I think it'd be cool for a weird team to get in too.
Well, I didn't.
It feels like it's a steady rotation of the same five or six teams. It's just
And I didn't think about this at all when I was looking at my picks. But if UCF goes undefeated again, which they very well could be, you know, I don't think they get put in unless there's no other obvious teams. But I mean, if they go undefeated again and don't get put in, people are gonna be pissed. I mean. You know, if that happens, or if you get either two SEC teams or two Big Ten teams in there, mm-hmm. and people are going to be fed up with this system. They're going to be calling for an eight-team playoff, which, I mean, you're already hearing that. And one thing that I think stands out, and I noticed this when I was looking at other people's picks too, none of us picked the Big 12 team. Nobody I really saw picked many big – like I said, of the ESPN's 43, I think five of them had Big 12 teams in there. So nobody's given the Big 12 much love, and – It's tough when you've got five of those main conferences. I mean, one of them's always going to be left out. If you have two people in there from one conference, you're going to have two conferences left out, or if you get that random outsider. So it's
Power Six.
That's right. That's what I meant, Power Six. I always forget about the AAC. but I wouldn't hate an eight-team system where the, you know, five conference champions get automatic bids, and then you have three at-larges or something along those lines. And maybe one's guaranteed a non-power five conference. But But we'll see.
Let's just do January Madness.
I forget. How long are they locked into this current system? Because it's for a little while.
It's still. For a couple more years still.
It's still got a while. Let's do the January Madness Field of 68. Let's go.
That takes so long.
The big problem.
A month
with
of football.
That'd be more than a month.
Fordham plays Alabama.
But the big problem with they were saying with that was the lessening the big name bowl games.
Yeah.
The way, because what they would have to do is they would have to do, you know, everybody plays a bowl game, and then out of the, you know, 8 big bowl games, then you just play unnamed games. So they'd have a title sponsor. Mm-hmm. But then how are you going to sell the Rose Bowl when it's really just the first round of a 3-round?
Yeah, and that's, you know, I mean, even now with the 4-team system, you kind of had that effect where it sort of waters down those big bowls a little bit, because now the Rose Bowl's not, you know, the granddaddy of them all. The Rose Bowl is just a semifinal game, you know, or the Sugar Bowl or Orange Bowl, whatever bowl it happens to be. So, you know, I think they've already taken that step. So to take it one step further, I don't think that's that much of a stretch. You know, and I don't know if at some point they just do away with the bowl system altogether, but because I think, you know, in a lot of ways that makes sense. But I also think a lot of times, you know, the kids on those, you know, those mid-level teams that, you know, aren't in competition for a playoff spot, you know, I think that's a nice reward at the end of the season that they get to go to these bowl games. Although sometimes when you have a 6-6 season, you have to go out to fucking Boise, you know, maybe it's not that great of a thing. So I don't know.
They're also having trouble with sponsorships for a lot of these games. I mean, there's been a few bowl games the past couple of years without names because no one's paying. You know, who wants to see, you know, some shitty small conference team play another, you know, the six team in the Big Ten? Like
Ohio versus Troy in the New Orleans whatever bowl every year is best game of the year.
But
obviously.
It's must-see TV.
I was going to use OU as an example there. You're talking about just the, you know, bowls that you get shipped off to shitty areas. OU actually benefited from losing, not making the MAC championship last year.
Yeah, they went to the fucking
Bahamas. They had to go to the Bahamas Bowl instead of having to be stuck in
Detroit or
Mobile, Alabama or Detroit.
Awesome.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's funny that sometimes like on paper, it's a, you know, a better bowl game. Some of those bowl games, like, I can't say the Boise Potato or Idaho Potato Bowl or whatever is that way, but some of the bowl games like the Music City Bowl, it's more prestigious on paper as far as the game and the conference tie-ins versus the two shitty conference schools that get to go to the Bahamas.
Yep. So we didn't touch on it yet, but real quick, what does everybody have in the championship?
I didn't even go that far because I didn't really seed my teams.
Yeah,
I just
go that far now.
Okay.
I've got Georgia over Clemson. I'm going to give DB a minute or two to buy his.
I'll do fucking Bama again. I'll do Bama over Washington.
Yeah. I've got the Buckeyes over Auburn.
I'm going to go Georgia over Wisconsin.
Mine's a complete homer pick.
No, I don't see it. So, you guys don't have anything that you're looking forward to this weekend, do you?
Nope. I'm not paying attention to football or anything.
Nope. Yeah. So, I am worried about the UC Bearcats this weekend. This is what I'm looking forward to and kind of dreading. They play UCLA this weekend. It's Chip Kelly's first game as a head coach at UCLA, and I really think that he's going to try and pour it on because that's what he's known for, is just ridiculous offenses that can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And I am worried about the Bearcats this weekend.
Is that game here or in UCLA?
It's in UCLA. Yeah, it's
UCLA. They have a home-and-home series, right?
Yeah, it's going to be back here next year. I could imagine that game might get moved to Paul Brown Stadium.
Yeah, it would make sense.
Even though Nippert holds 40,000 people, I could still see them trying to get UCLA at the being part of that deal. But the thing that I'm not sure about UCLA is, one, just being the first game, sometimes Chip might not have all the right players for the offense that he wants to run.
That's true.
You think a team like UCLA probably has enough speed recruited anyway. That's really what he needs for his offense. But I don't know who they are or what their importance to the team is, but pretty sure UCLA has like 6 guys suspended.
Do they?
They did. They did that recently. Yeah. They suspended a few guys, which I mean, they that's obviously going to be a big thing, but
over in China.
Yeah.
But so whatever that means, I don't know if that does much. It didn't move the line in the betting. I think they're still 16.5 point favorites over the Bearcats.
Yeah.
Is UC supposed to, I mean, do anything in the AAC this year?
No. The middle of the pack of their division, I think, still. Yeah. They've got a, I don't know, I forget where he's from, and I don't buy into recruits much because you never know what's going to happen.
Sure.
But they've got some dude, he's like 6'8 and like 245, a quarterback coming in next year. And granted, it's high school football, but he's thrown more touchdowns than incompletions so far this year. And they've played like two games or something like that.
Yeah.
I think he's got like 9 touchdowns and only 7 incompletions or something like that.
Nice.
So that's one of those deals where you never know when they might just be one or two big fickle recruits away from being a decent team.
So. Sure.
Who are the Buckeyes locking up with this weekend, Whit?
Oregon State.
Ooh.
OSU versus OSU.
Ah, the Beavers.
Winner takes all.
That's right.
It should be a good game.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good one where it's enough of a test to where it's, you know, it's not going to be just a cakewalk, but it's not too difficult to where, you know, not having Urban's going to be a problem or having a new quarterback in there is going to be a problem. So, and then they got Rutgers the week after, so that'll be a nice cakewalk. But
nice. Which
I love when these teams, when teams like the Buckeyes schedule these guys. And people are like, yeah, they pick someone out there. They're scheduling someone out of a decent conference, but they've got, you know, a trash opponent from that decent conference. When these conference non-conference games get scheduled, like I'm willing to bet Oregon State was a top 25 caliber team when this got like set.
Yep.
And that seems to happen. A lot of teams, the Buckeyes have gotten burned by that before.
Yeah.
Or not Buckeyes. The Bearcats have gotten burned by that before. Just anyone, really. I mean, you see it happen all the time. And some of the bigger schools end up dropping their non-conference games and cancel out of the contract for that reason.
Yep.
But there was the one year.
They get made like 7-8 years in advance sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean,
like OSU's BYU contract or UC's BYU contract was like 8 years in the making. I forget.
Yeah.
I remember, I can't remember if it was UC or OSU, one of the two teams. I remember when they released the, it was like back when we were like, either still in college or just out of college. It was like one of those big home and home deals. And I was like, if I'm alive still, like that'll be a fun matchup. And it it ended up not really being anything special. I don't remember who it was, but
yeah, like right now the Buckeyes have games scheduled out to 2024, like 2027. They've got Boston College home and home in 2026 and 2027. So
well, they don't get the benefit of the doubt on that one.
No.
Because Boston
but they've got Texas in 2025 and 2026. They got Washington year before that, Notre Dame before that. So, and these are all in the 2020s. So,
Buckeyes play Notre Dame coming
in 2022 and 2023. They have a home and home with Notre Dame. So,
that's pretty cool.
Texas is back this year. So, there's no telling what they'll be in 2025.
In 7 years.
I don't know. Their coach went to a strip club once.
That's right.
That's been the dumbest thing of this whole process.
Well, there's been
them
a lot
trying
of
to shoot.
Apparently,
not to go back
apparently
down
it's
this,
bad to go to a strip club.
Yeah. Tom Herman went to a strip club one time, and now he's under fire. And not that he's really under fire, but people are trying to make it seem like a big deal. It's like, okay, not a big deal.
Guy wanted to see some titties.
Yep. But, well, that's good. So I guess, Whitty, you're looking forward to the Buckeyes.
Yep.
Yeah. A little football action. Kind of looking at the same thing. I don't really have a big dog. I like rooting for UC. I'm obviously OU grad, so I love – watching the Bobcats, but they play fucking Howard this weekend, so it's not really like they're. I mean, they got beat by that weird FCS school in Texas a couple years ago, but it should be a pretty good mopping for the Bobcats. And I don't know. I don't know why I'm always drawn to these types of games, but I'm looking forward to that Notre Dame Michigan game. Saturday night.
I'll be tuning in.
That'll be a fun game. That'll be a fun game to watch. It's going on during the Bearcats game, so I'll have to double screen it, but I think that should be a pretty good matchup.
Yep.
Plus two, I would say Harbaugh is a pretty unlikable guy, but sometimes he makes me laugh.
Sure.
But I can't remember the last time two unlikable coaches like this got pitted together like right out of the gate.
Right.
Like usually you wait till the national championship for people you hate like this.
Yep. It's a can't standoff.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's gonna get the reddest?
Yeah, seriously.
Who's gonna have an aneurysm first? who's going to tell the manager to get back in that cherry picker first? So, FA, you looking forward to anything?
Football, man. Sweet. It's
how was that this weekend?
We're 1 week away from football pretty much every day of the week, minus a couple days. It's exciting. Now, I'm more excited for next weekend because it's NFL's back, and we're just kicking on all cylinders of football. So,
well, you can't use NFL for next week. Then you got to come up with something else because you just used NFL.
Yep, way to burn that one, jackass.
I mean, we're just I'm excited for football to be back.
I'm pretty pumped for Easter. I don't know about you guys. I know it's like 14 weeks.
Fall's the best
weekends.
Time. I mean, I hope we have a long fall. Fall's. It's getting close, and it's the best time of year.
We'd never have a long fall. We never have a long spring.
I know they're saying it's going to be a shitty winter now, too.
Well, we're not here. All right, yeah, I was going to say, all right, Mr. Farmer's Almanac. So, Hefe and I will be. We were at the Bengals Colts game last night. It was exciting stuff. It was a thriller with a bunch of people that are not going to be on NFL rosters anymore.
How did you put up with Hefe for that long?
Sat somewhere else. It was pretty wide open. I could sit wherever I wanted.
He had those gold star conies to hold him over.
No, not happening. So
I will get it on video if it happens, Woody. Don't worry.
Do you think I'm that stupid that I would actually eat gold star?
Knowing
like,
the scrutiny
with all
he's
of this
under.
Going on?
Yeah.
I might buy it and hand one to you and just get a picture real quick. Okay. Well, now I just played my hand, so now you're not going to fall for that.
I'm not going to fall for it. I will bitch slap. I will...
You should, I want to see video of you going to Gold Star, buying
two conies.
Don't ruin
it. I was
going to
do it already.
Just slamming them on the ground.
I was just going to throw them away, but I wasn't going to do that.
It's going to be crazy when we're on ESPN because he kicks a coney into the 50-yard line.
Like Jackie Moon punting
kick.
The nachos.
Hey, kick further than Randy Bullock. Randy.
It'll be like that rookie of the year moment.
Yeah. Fat Randy'd run out there and eat that thing. So. Well, if you're looking forward to checking out our blogs, you can go to millironsports.com. I know many of you
Max
do
blog.
Every single day.
Yes.
Literally single and singles and singles of you.
Checking all that content that we're all that we're all putting out
there's tens of you out there. And you check us out on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is millironsports. You can find all of our individual Twitter handles in the bio for that. You can check us out on Facebook. It's pretty much just spits out all the garbage we put on the website. And that's pretty much it. Check us out on next week. We'll have our NFL preview and our picks for the Bengals season. I can already guess what Hefe is going to say.
I'm just an optimist.
16-0.
I think they're going to go 15-4. I just that's how I see it.
You're going to play the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
They're picking up some games on the schedule because they're just going to, you know,
it's going to be
they're
AFC
just
going to
relegate the
heavy
Browns.
Super Bowl.
They're going to play the rest of the schedule for them, and I just think they're going to get it done. I just think that's what's going to happen. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. I'm sorry. Just. They're going to do it, whatever.
That was just a little preview of what you might hear next week. But if you want to hear it all, tune in. Have a good 3-day weekend.
Later,
Banners.
Bye.